The Ed Coleman Report, brought to you by Bay Ridge Honda, one of the dealerships proudly owned by Rob Sabah in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn, by CSEA Local 830. We work for you, by the locally owned and operated Papa John's, proud partner of the New York Mets, and by Interstate Batteries, every battery for every need. Hello, Ed Coleman. How have you been?
It's good to talk to you. It's been a while, as a matter of fact, but this is probably a good time to talk to you because we're always both up late at night doing one thing or another, and now we're talking. So that's good.
When Tyler told me Eddie C's coming on at 11 o'clock, I said, I see how this works. Basketball game will be over about 10:50. Eddie will be up watching the end of it, so he says he'll hang with me for another 15 minutes to come on here and talk about the Mets.
That was over a lot sooner than that, and it was hard to watch, let me tell you that. That was brutal. I thought that Charles put it rather succinctly at halftime. You know, you can go back and forth, and listen, when Houston doesn't show up, which they didn't seem to again, and there's no game, but Charles said, you know, the Warriors have Kevin Durant, and Houston doesn't.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
And Houston was in a big hole at halftime. But then when Steph came out, who had not played well in any of the first two games, and the first half he couldn't throw the ball in the ocean, and all of a sudden now he can't miss. He goes from being, what happened to the MVP guy, to, there he is, and he can't get touched. Yeah, that was pretty much a blowout in the second half.
Yeah, he found the ocean. I think he ended up at 31. That's pretty good.
Yeah, 35, 26 of which came in the second half. Yeah, he kind of picked it up a little bit. But I figured you'd be watching the hoop game, and I may ask you a Celtic question on the way out. But before we do that, let's talk about these Mets, Mets. Sweep the Arizona Diamondbacks, which a bunch of teams are doing these days. Diamondbacks are terrible, but take it any way you can get it. And I gave credit to Mickey Callaway earlier because he's pushing the right buttons. He gives his dribble a day off. When he puts him up, he hits a pinch hit home run. He's bringing the guys out of the bullpen in the right order at the right time, getting the job done. Not only did the Mets have a good weekend series, the manager did too.
Yeah, he did. Listen, he pushed all the right buttons early on. He went through a little downturn as the team went through a downturn, Mac. And, you know, he made some mistakes and things that he probably won't do again. But it's picked up a little bit, and it always helps when, you know, you get starting pitching like DeGrom and Syndergaard gave him in two of the three games here. Matt's a little bit different on Saturday, but when you get starts like that deep into the game, and then your bullpen goes out and throws nine scoreless innings during the course of a three-game sweep, you know, it makes things pretty easy for you. Listen, they still need some offensive help. You know, they were clinging to, you know, in that game today, they were behind in one of the games, obviously over the weekend, came back in that one to win it 5-4. But, you know, they still need offensive help with all the injuries they've had. But if they can get the pitching on a regular basis, and Callaway said that on Friday, they get the pitching on a regular basis, they should be okay.
All right, speaking of pitching, go either optimistically for me, pessimistically for me, or somewhere in the middle that you think best fits. Wheeler, Vargas, Mats. They have to pick it up. DeGrom and Syndergaard start the game, the Mets almost always win. DeGrom and Syndergaard don't start the game, the Mets almost always lose, which means those three guys really have to pick it up to this point. Mats the best of the three, but not good. Wheeler, only thing you can good say about him is he's better than Vargas, and Vargas has done nothing since he's returned. Give me the optimistic slant or the pessimistic slant on all three of those guys.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, Callaway kind of, you know, laid down the gauntlet the other day, as a matter of fact, during the press conference when he was asked about, you know, the other guys in the rotation, DeGrom and Syndergaard notwithstanding. And he said, basically, you know, he issued the challenge to them. You know, they've got to pitch better. They have to get the job done. They're here. They're in the starting rotation, and they've got to pitch better. Vargas, we obviously know he's had three starts, and they've been horrible, and he'll get another one tomorrow night against Miami. And we'll see. We'll see what happens, whether the simulated game a week ago or 6 days ago, you know, helped him. Wheeler, I think, has been, you know, overall, I think he's been pretty good. He did have a bad start in there, but, you know, I think, you know, Zach's got to get through the first inning. He's had problems time and time again in starts in the first inning. You did mention that he's been working on a splitter a little bit, that he hasn't thrown much in games. You may see that, I think, when he pitches next. You may see that a little bit more. And Matz is a guy who just has to control his emotions out there. He is healthy, but, you know, he can go out there and give you seven innings of, you know, two-run ball, or he can go out there and, you know, be done after three or four. And we saw the four the other night. So all those guys have to step it up. You know, what's interesting, too, Mac, is that, you know, even with Syndergaard and DeGrom, you look at, you know, the games the Mets have lost during that time. I think Syndergaard's made 10 starts now. They've lost four of those starts, and or three of them at least. And DeGrom has had some bad luck, too. He's lost four of his nine starts. So, you know, they're not perfect when those guys go out, but you know you're going to get a well-pitched game from both of them.
If that doesn't take place, that the three guys who you expect to be better, and I think it probably will, do I think they'll start closing the gap with DeGrom and Syndergaard? No, I don't, but they'll certainly be better than what they have. If they don't, we saw P.J. Conlon come up and get a start. Flexen has been up and down and the like. Are those the two candidates? Is there anyone else who would be in the mix? Is there any answer in the system if these guys just prove not to be capable of holding down a start once every 5 days?
Honestly, I don't see it, Mac. I really don't. I think Conlon was kind of a last-ditch effort because they did want to bring up Oswalt, I think, but they would have kept him out too long if they asked him to make that start. That's why they brought up Conlon. And listen, you know, Conlon did a decent job for him in that game. You know, he was not expected to, and he went out and did a decent job for sure. I think what you may see, they have doubleheaders coming up. They have a road trip which starts on Thursday after this three-game set with Miami. They go to Atlanta, which is a good place to go, and start it off with a doubleheader there. That'll be an interesting day. And I think one of those games is going to be pitched by Seth Lugo. I think you'll also probably see at some point Gesellman start a game, although Callaway has started to use him more and more as the eighth inning guy. He started again today. And it was interesting that he, because I asked him, I said, did you know when you came in for the eighth, you were going back out for the night? He said, no. He said, they just asked me how I felt, and they said, well, you're going back out. So he had a five-out save. He struck out the side in the ninth inning. But I think that, you know, Callaway trusts him in that spot right now to kind of set things up for Familia, and he just let him go today because he had good stuff.
I think he should. I think he's too important a piece to come out of the pen. I think you got the right read on it. If anybody's going to jump into the rotation more so than someone from AAA, it's probably Lugo coming out of the pen. That's how I would handle it if I were the manager.
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, you also have a guy like Flexen who's up here. He's been a starter in the minor leagues. And I think, you know, if you use a Lugo in a game like that for, you know, second game of a doubleheader or whatever, you can, you know, you can use Flexen for a short amount of time to pick up Lugo's innings that were in the bullpen. I think they like the fact that they have really three guys out there that can give you multiple innings pretty much every other day, you know, in Sewald and Gesellman and Lugo. And that may cut down a little bit because, you know, Gesellman's innings are getting up there. I think he was projected to pitch, I think it was 110, which is way too much. I mean, 90, none, you know, that's still a lot, but I think you have to scale him back a little bit. So I think you may see him, you know, pitch that eighth inning on several occasions.
Understood. I did see this today, and it kind of took me by surprise, that the Mets are contemplating getting Dom Smith time in the outfield. I know they have outfield issues and outfield injuries, and they're a little short-handed right now, but Dom Smith and his athleticism around first base doesn't scream outfield to me. Is this desperation, or do they really think they might be able to get something like this accomplished?
No, I think it's desperation. I think you hit it on the head. I think, and you know, Callaway even said today, this morning, when we were talking further about that, that he said, we don't have outfielders. And you know what? That's an honest assessment. They don't. The other day, the Braves released the immortal Ezekiel Carrera, who I think played in Toronto, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong, but the Braves had him on their roster, released him. The Mets picked him up immediately, and he's a AAA. They don't have people down there. They really don't. So Dom Smith is out there. He's not going to do it every day, but he's probably going to play out there a couple of times because they figure, hey, he's a decent bat, and he is a decent bat when he gets things going. And if they need help, you know, they're going to need help at some point in time here until all these guys get healthy. They've lost Lagares. for the season. Cespedes will be back at some point next week, but can he keep everybody healthy? I don't know. So, but I think desperation probably describes it the best.
Is Den Dekker even a thought? They brought him back. I always thought he was, at best, a fifth outfielder, but they're looking for fifth outfielders. His numbers, I haven't seen him play, but his numbers are okay at Vegas. Not off the charts good, but certainly not as bad as some of the other guys at Vegas right now. Is he in the mix at all, the thought process at all?
I think he is. He obviously is a major league. He has major league experience. He's played up here, Tigers, et cetera, the Braves, I think, as well. So, you know, he's been around a little bit, or Washington, excuse me, not the Braves. But, you know, Dundecker can play on this level. Can he hit a lot? Probably not. He never has, but he is a good defensive outfielder. So is he in the mix? Yeah, I think he is. They would trust him to bring him up. But I think what they were looking for, obviously, when you have the outfielders that you have right now, they're all left-handed. You've got Bruce and Conforto and Nimmo. They were looking for a right-handed hitting outfielder, but that wouldn't describe Dom Smith either.
I was going to say, last time I checked, Dom Smith was left-handed too.
Yeah. No, he's not. He hasn't turned into a switch hitter. So, but Den Dekker, he's in the mix, but he's not. I wouldn't say he's high on the list. Let's put it that way.
All right. Have you said anything against Derek Jeter of late? Is your credential going to be okay for the next time you go down to Miami?
Yeah, no, I think I'm cool. I think I'm all right. You know, they're coming here. I'm not sure if Derek's going to come. I don't think he came for the Yankees series. Maybe he's come for the Mets series. I'm not sure. But I've stayed away. I haven't anything bad to say about number two.
I have this to say about Miami. They're terrible. And if that gets my pass to Citi Field or that monstrosity of a stadium they have down there in Miami rescinded, I'm okay with that. Any good to catch up, brother? Oh, Celtics. Are they going to beat the Cavs? I say yes. You say?
I say yes. Nice. I ahead of schedule, there could be an ugly final, but I don't think anyone is expecting a heck of a lot out of if either team is there, Boston or Cleveland, for that matter. And you know, I guess we can probably pencil Golden State in as far as we go right now. Who knows? But that's probably the way it's going to work out. It'd be nice to see it with a healthy Kyrie and a healthy guy who used to play for the Utah Jazz, but maybe that'll be in the future.
That's next year. I think the Celtics, funny, because they lost last night. I took a whole bunch of calls on the network today about how the Cavs are back and it's LeBron, and now it's a foregone conclusion. It's going to be the same final third year in a row. I think Celtics have a better chance to win a game in Cleveland than Cleveland has a chance to win a game in Boston. And I may be wrong. It may be a complete home series. And if that's the case, the Celtics are going to the final anyway.
That's right. They'll have game seven there. And I do like their coach a little bit. He's pulled the right strings for several years now, as a matter of fact. So I like him going forward, too.
Eddie, good stuff. Good to catch up, brother. We'll talk.
All right, Mac. Talk to you later.